glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, May 29th, 2025. I'm your friend Donna Leland. We invite back once again Carolyn Eastfold. She is our Bible guide, and currently we are going through the names of God. Welcome back, Carolyn, to Mark and Friends.
It's good to be back and talk to you again.
Well, I'm really excited about going through the names of God, because the last time we were together, I really took that El Elyon and I used that and crying out to God. So what's our name of God today?
Our name today is Elroy, the God who sees. This name will be precious to any woman or any person, really, who has ever felt unseen, alone, misunderstood, or abused. And that would be about all of us, right?
Absolutely, that's for sure.
But it must be especially precious to any woman who has suffered abuse. So just a reminder why we want to study the names of God. It's because his revelation of his names to us throughout the Bible, and through those he revealed his character, his attributes, his nature to us. So we did talk about El Elyon, the God who is sovereign over all. Before that, we talked about Elohim, in which God revealed himself as a creator over all. The first word, El, E-L, means God, and the second word reveals more about his character. And we have that promise in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs to it and is safe. So it's good for us to know his names and to call on him by name. This name of God, Elroy, it's got a big backstory, so we have to start there. Way back in Genesis, God called Abraham out of a pagan culture, Ur of the Chaldeans, and God made him promises, which we call the Abrahamic covenant. God promised Abraham, actually his name was Abram at that time, that he would give him the land of Canaan, which we know as Israel now. Secondly, God would give him many descendants, as many as the grains of sand or the stars of the sky, too many to count. And the third promise was that God would bless all the nations of the earth through Abram and his descendants. And we know now that he did that through the promised Messiah, Jesus. And you can read all about those, that story, in Genesis chapters 12 and 15. These were wonderful promises, and the Bible said that Abram believed God, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. There we have the verse where Genesis 15:6, where Abraham was saved by faith, and not by anything he did, but by faith he believed God. Well, there was a problem with God's promise. Years had gone by, and Abram and his wife Sarai, whose name God changed later to Sarah, they still had no children. Because of their age, by then it looked humanly impossible for them to ever to have a child. And Sarai tried to control the will of God by taking the initiative away from him. And she and Abram chose a human means of obtaining the promised heir rather than waiting for God in faith. In essence, they let their culture guide them rather than God. And Sarai did what was culturally acceptable, and maybe it was even expected in those times, to carry on the line of her husband. And that was to give Abram her slave girl, Hagar, to bear a child from him, and that child would become legally Sarai's child. It sounded like a good plan, but in reality, Sarai had chosen to make her decision based on their culture rather than on God's word to them. Hagar did become pregnant, but when she did, we are told that she began to despise Sarai, her mistress. And Sarai did what Eve did back in the garden. She blamed someone else. She went to Abram and told him it was his fault. Giving Hagar to Abram as his concubine, she had raised Hagar's position from maidservant to kind of like a secondary wife. So at this point, Abram gave Hagar back to Sarai, saying she was her maid. Do with her as you wish. And unfortunately, Sarai proceeded to mistreat Hagar so badly that she ran away into the wilderness. So I want to stop and think about Hagar for a minute. How must she have been feeling? She was alone. She was unseen. She was uncared for. She was abused. She maybe even felt abandoned by God. we've all had circumstances in our own lives when we felt that same way, and maybe some of your listeners feel that way today. But did Hagar have any choice about her situation? She really didn't, because she was a slave girl, and she had to do what she was told. The only choice she had about the situation was her attitude. Becoming a concubine in her pregnancy, that wasn't her sin, but her attitude of superiority over Sarai was her sin. And this is where God's name Elroy comes into our story. In this narrative, we can see that God not only makes promises, but he also makes provision. In Genesis 16:7, do you have that handy?
Starting with verse 7, the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He will live in hostility toward all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me.
Thank you. So this angel of the Lord is probably the pre-incarnate Christ. And he knew where she was. He even called her by name. And he even knew her occupation. And it was interesting that the angel of the Lord told her to name her baby Ishmael, which means God hears. And then Hagar gave the Lord the name Elroy, the God who sees me. So we have both God hears and God sees me in this passage. He's the one who knows our circumstances. He knows our past, our present, our future. We don't always see our past accurately, and our view of the present can be blurred too. And certainly our view of the future is blind. We can't see that accurately at all. But God knows our whole story from beginning to end. The question is, can we trust him with his vision for our lives and be assured that we are under his watchful care? So in case we begin to think that, well, Hagar was a special case because she was important to God's story, and that's why he saw her and he wanted to provide for her, but that doesn't mean he sees me because I'm nobody important. But if we look at Psalm 33 and pay attention to the word all, Psalm 33, verse 13, the Lord looks from heaven and he sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hope rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. Now in Hagar's case, she was alone, impoverished, and pregnant, and that's a perfect nightmare for any woman. The feeling of being alone, uncared for, unseen, unheard, that's pretty common in our culture today. Sadly, many of our youth feel that way, the elderly can feel that way, and actually anyone in between can feel that way, but God. God had seen Hagar's situation. He knew about her abuse in the past, he knew exactly where she was in the present, and he saw what the future held for her, a son named Ishmael, and descendants too numerous to count. So she and her son would surely live and not die. And this is the same God who watches over us today. Even when we find ourselves in the lonely places, he is near to us and he sees us. So what did Hagar do next? Well, she obeyed God. She willingly went back to Sarai. Ishmael was born in Abram's household and became the apparent and legal heir of Abraham. But he was not the child that God had promised Abram that would be his heir. And the Lord goes on. In Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, God changed his name to Abraham. Abraham means father of a multitude, the father of nations. And he also changed Sarai's name, Sarai meaning my princess, Abram's princess, and became Sarah meaning princess. to the multitudes. She was to become the mother of nations. So these names affirm the promise of having a multitude of descendants, even at that age. So the next year, Sarah did give birth to a son, Isaac. By this time, Abraham was 100 years old, and Ishmael was a teenager. So everyone was happy right then. Everything was fine. Mm-mm.
I guess when it comes to family dysfunction, and nothing really changes. I mean, we see this played out, right, in our own world even today.
Well, the Bible tells us that Ishmael cruelly ridicules Isaac. Now, we have to keep in mind that each boy was a threat to the other one's inheritance from Abraham, and Sarah wanted Ishmael gone. And that probably was very hard for Abraham because he no doubt loved both of his sons. But ultimately, Hagar and Ishmael were sent away, and Abram sent with them some provisions of food and water. But again, Hagar found herself in a desolate place back in the wilderness. And after the provisions that Abraham had given her were gone, she knew that her son was dying from lack of water, from dehydration. She couldn't bear to watch, so she went a ways away and sat down. She could hear him crying. Surely she was thinking, what about the promises that God made? Didn't he promise me that Ishmael would live and have many descendants? Wasn't God able to keep his promises? Had he changed his mind? Maybe he just forgot all about us. So here she was again, abandoned in the wilderness, about to die, and hearing her young lad crying. It surely didn't look like God was faithful to his promise to her. But let's jump back into the story, Genesis 21:17. It says that God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." And then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled a skin with water and gave the lad a drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness and became an archer. Remember what Ishmael's name meant?
Ishmael means God hears.
And here we have God heard the lad crying. In verse 19, this is really important, I think, God opened her eyes, and she was able to see God's provision, which is exactly what they needed, was a well of water. So they did live, and God's promises became reality to them. So those promises had never changed, even when their situation looked humanly hopeless. And we know this is true because, well, for starters, Ishmael had 12 sons. And then we hear of the descendants of Ishmael later on throughout the Old Testament. One example is in chapter 28 of Genesis. Esau, which is one of Isaac's twin sons, married a descendant of Ishmael since his mother did not want him to marry a Canaanite woman. And then it was the Ishmaelites in Genesis 37 that Joseph's brother sold him to the Ishmaelite traders who took him to Egypt as a slave. So we know that Ishmael's descendants were many, and they went on for many years. But that's Hagar's story. What difference does this make to us? Well, here's one thing I noticed. When we feel like God isn't answering our prayers, maybe what we need to do is ask him to open our eyes to what he's doing and to increase our faith.
That makes me think that maybe the provision that we are looking for is right in front of us. We just can't see it.
Anne Spangler, in her book, Praying the Names of God, she exhorts us with this verse from 2 Chronicles 16. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Anne says, if you are feeling weak in the face of life's challenges, the best way to grow strong is to strengthen your commitment to Christ. Decide to obey fully, to follow completely, to keep your eyes fastened on him. Let Elroy take pleasure as he watches over you, and you will soon find your heart stronger and your confidence deeper without quite knowing how it happened. So he promises to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to him. And then Kay Arthur shared this further encouragement. She said, if you have loved ones out there who have run away, though you do not know where they are or what is happening in their lives, Elroy does. He sees. You can't see them, but he can. So run into that strong tower of his name and rest. So Elroy, the God who sees us.
You know, Carolyn, that quote takes me back to the father with the two prodigal sons His one son took off and was hanging out with the pigs in the far country, and he was waiting for that son to come back. But it's comforting to know if we have prodigals in our life that we're loving on, yeah, God can see them. He knows exactly what they're doing, and he is caring for them. Yep, our job is to be that person waiting for them to come to their senses and praying to the God who sees. L. Roy, I know, is my number one job.
I think another observation we can make from Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar's story is that when we resort to fleshly human means rather than waiting for God to provide what he promised, it always creates problems. But we can also see that human failure does not ultimately frustrate God's plans. And that's a real encouragement to all of us, because we make mistakes and we think we've messed up God's plans, but he can work around us.
You know, I was thinking about that, Carolyn. I think we all have an Ishmael running around the place. And we look at that and we say, wow, I really wish I had not made that choice, because it was a lifetime choice. And yet God is fully able to take Ishmael and do with him as he pleases.
Mm-hmm. And he blessed him because he was Abraham's son. So if we gather all these applications together, what should we do when we feel unseen, unheard, uncared for? Well, the first thing I think we can remind ourselves, El Roy, the God who sees me, he's the one who knows our circumstances, past, present, and future. He sees us. He hears us. He sees and hears our loved ones even when we don't. And then we shouldn't jump ahead of God. We need to wait for him to fulfill his promises. Thirdly, we may not be able to control our situation like Hagar couldn't, but we can control our attitudes. Fourthly, God's promises don't change, even when a situation looks hopeless to us. We can ask God to open our eyes to his working. We can trust that he is working and providing, even when we can't see it. And then lastly, being fully committed to Jesus Christ and let him strengthen our hearts and our faith. El Roy, he's the God who sees us.
Beautiful, Carolyn. You have a song for us, too, that you thought might go well with this study.
I do. There's a song by Kristen Getty that's called If It Had Not Been for the Lord. And there's a verse in here that goes, it could be Hagar's verse. If it had not been for the Lord on our side when dry desert plains had wearied us, but for grace we'll still be wandering in those lands if it had not been for the Lord. Our hope, our help from age to age the same, our God, our rock, most worthy to be praised. From this moment of grace, with our grateful hearts we'll say evermore, if it had not been for the Lord.
If it had not been for the Lord on our side, when strong raging floods surrounded us, we'd be surely crushed beneath the waves of sin. If it had not been for, if it had not been for the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, when dry desert plains had wearied us, but for grace if it had not been for, if it had not been for the Lord. Our help from age to age the same. Our God, our rock, most worthy to be praised. From this mount of grace, our grateful hearts will say evermore. If it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been for the Lamb on that cross, where love for free reached down to
If it had not been for the Lord on that day, before heaven's throne, what would we say? There with endless wonder we will shout amen. If it had not been for, if it had not been.
Big thanks to our Bible guide, Carolyn Eastfold, for her contributions today on Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland, thanking you so much for making this a part of your day. And we always want you to know how important you are to this ministry. We appreciate your partnership. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate telling other people about these programs, as well as the gifts that you give to keep this listener-supported Christian radio going. To hear any of these Mark and Friends programs again, just go to our website, click the Mark and Friends tab, and you'll see the program date with the name of the broadcast that you can download in an MP3 format. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.